Welcome to the IonaHoops.com podcast with your host, Guy Filotico.
Hey now, it's season 4, episode 4 of the IonaHoops.com podcast, and the focal point of this one is that three-letter acronym that's dominated the college basketball offseason, NIL. You've all been asking, what's going on with Iona's NIL? Why haven't we heard about it? And I've been telling you all along, it exists, and it's even played a major role in building this year's Iona team. But now, the Gales Nation Collective is public. You can find out all about it at galesnation.com, and you'll also find that Gales Nation handle on Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. But I'll do you one better than that, as my guest this episode of the podcast is none other than Jim Oates, who has spearheaded the development of Iona's Collective since day one. We'll cover what NIL is and why it matters, the road to getting Collective up and running to where we are today, and how you can get involved. So this is a landmark moment for Iona athletics and Iona student athletes in general. And I don't mean just for men's basketball either. So we've got a lot to cover being part of the collective and what it means to Iona. And so because of that, we're going to be foregoing the normal features of this podcast and get right into my conversation with Jim Oates. Jim Oates is a member of Iona's class of 1995. He's the newly elected president of the board, a member of the LePenner School of Business Executive Advisory Council, and the alumni sponsor of the Gales Go Further Mentoring Program. That wasn't enough. He's also spearheaded the development of the Gales Nation Name, Image, and Likeness, or NIL, Collective, which has just launched, much to the delight of Iona alumni, fans, and friends everywhere. Jim, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much, Guy. It's great to be here, and thanks for having me.
So NIL has moved to the forefront of college athletics nationally. I guess that most people listening to this podcast know people like Livy Dunn, for instance, the gymnast at LSU. For those who don't know who she is, happens to be, of course, very attractive and is now a millionaire thanks to NIL. An extreme example, but can you take a moment and give the listeners a brief NIL 101, if you will?
Yeah, sure. It's been a very interesting space, and I've learned a lot, and I've also come to realize it's been quite controversial in some camps. But it all starts about 2 years ago, where Congress passed a law that told the NCAA, you can no longer prevent a student athlete from making money off of its name, image, and likeness. Why should the schools be the only ones making money off of these student athletes? And for me, that's something that resonated that makes sense to me. But then it opened the floodgates of what some people describe as a potential Wild West of what these student athletes could do. So the NCAA did put some rules, some law and order in over what the rules of engagement were from a school's point of view, from the athletes, trying to protect the athletes in some way, and try to get to the middle of somewhere between a professional athlete still being a student while respecting the spirit of Congress. So basically, it allowed student athletes to start to do what you would say branding or marketing deals, sponsorships, commercials, events, and get paid for it. And so that's pretty much what NIL is. There is a platform called Open Doors, which Iona University subscribed to last year, which creates like a Cameo-like marketplace for student athletes where they can showcase their wares and they can get paid for autographs or birthday messages. And a lot of schools have subscribed to the similar things. Iona University also uses it for compliance reasons to make sure that everything's being done within the spirit of the NCAA rules. They use it for education of student athletes on how to think about this space. But pretty much the student athletes are left to their own beyond that. And so aside from every student athlete in the country hiring an agent, this idea of collectives was born, or organizations or clubs, or there's been various ways that this has been approached. I've learned from other schools where you have either boosters or benefactors or contributors or corporate partners who help fund an entity that acts almost like the agency for the sports athlete. It's almost like a clearinghouse for opportunities for the athletes. So the collective entity does a deal with the athlete and sort of is the go-between within all those external stakeholders and the athlete. And there are a number of shapes and sizes as to how that was done from different schools and different approaches and different sizes, to be honest. You know, Power Five schools have one way of thinking about it and smaller schools have another.
Can you tell us how you feel like it's going to impact the basketball landscape, for instance, since that is what's most important for Iona fans?
Well, basketball, I mean, it's a bit chaotic last year when the transfer portal opened up. It changed a little bit of the dynamics, became a little bit more like free agency. So whether that's a positive or negative development, it certainly changed the way schools think about putting a roster together and the teams. You know, Congress has already, hasn't moved out of the space. There's a number of discussions even this week down in Washington with members of Congress where there's been bills proposed by Senator Manchin or Senator Booker or Lindsey Graham's getting into the game where they all have views about how this has got to be done better and differently. So I think there's still a feeling that it's not quite right the way it's operating in the country. And then I would expect that we're going to see more clarity about trying to put some more law and order in place. So I would guess that's an implication in the country that it's good in some ways for the student athletes, but it's also not quite where it needs to be yet.
Right. Okay. All right. So take us back to day one of the development of the collective at Iona. How did it get going? Who called who first? How quickly were you pulled in? What kind of role, if any, did that guy who's now at St. John's have in it? You know, but I think people are don't even know how it got going, when it started. So take us all the way back to day one. When was that? When was day one?
I'll say day one for me. I guess that's all I can speak to was when late winter, early spring, February, March timeframe. I had been in a few conversations with President Carey, president of Iona University, where we were talking about a lot of things, including the Alumni Association that you mentioned, the Gales Go Further Mentor Program, and we started talking about the NIL space. And I think at that time, there had been some efforts underway, pretty much led by the former coach that was a little bit done in a very arm's length way from Iona U, and we needed to figure out a way to say if the scenario unfolded that we had changes, we were left basically without all of that pre-work done on a collective. So can we get something started, basically start over again with a collective from Iona's point of view? And so I agreed to spearhead the early homework on what would be necessary. With President Carey's support, we got a group of alums involved to be very involved in running the collective, but also to donate. And I don't want to use the word donate. I'll explain why later, but contribute to the collective. So we had first we had to do the homework. So I met with a series of other schools. I met with industry participants in the athletics field and sports industry, lawyers, accountants, banks, to talk about all the things and the devil's in the detail on these things. You want to create an entity, but what kind of entity? Is it going to be a for-profit entity, a not-for-profit entity? And do the homework on the implications of each. So after all that homework, we then had a framework that we could then say, okay, this is how we think we ought to proceed. So we're probably now in mid-March timeframe. March Madness is in full swing concurrently. And then we basically decided a few things. The IRS is not a fan of these collectives being non-for-profit entities where the donations made to them are tax deductible to the donor.
Right.
So they've been crystal clear about that. So having a non-profit entity was, some people have done it and some good uses of it, but it was probably a non-starter. So then the other route was a for-profit entity, and that felt icky to a lot of us, saying we don't want to be profiting from the name, image, and likeness of the Iona student athlete. So what our group of alum decided, that is, while we'll have a for-profit entity, we're going to do everything in our power to keep that all the money after expenses benefiting the student athletes. So we're operating as if it's a non-for-profit without the tax benefits. With all of that, we said we'll hire a company called Encore Marketing, which is one of the leading sports marketing companies in the country in the NIL space. And we wanted to say, look, we're not really exactly sure what we're doing as alumni of Iona. Let's get some experts in here who can keep their finger on the pulse of what's changing in NIL land. They can help source revenue opportunities with corporate partners. They can help tee up the kinds of activities and endorsement opportunities that the student athletes might have. And they would answer to a board of Iona alumni members who are going to keep the spirit and tradition of Iona, keep the personal development of the student athletes first and foremost in our minds, and basically live the values of Iona and giving these kids the opportunities that are out there for them. So with that governance construct, we felt very comfortable with. We're acting and we're putting the student athletes' interests first, and not just their economic interests now, but their personal development over time. And we can get into a little bit about what the offering is, but just in this journey of creation, locking in Encore, locking in the Open Doors platform, the one that the university is using, we're also going to use that to make sure that the collective remains compliant in everything it's doing, that we use that for payment processing and tax reporting and all those sorts of things. We then went to work to say, actually, before when we go live with this thing, and live is a loose word because we've been operating for a while, but I'll say the public drop, which just occurred, we wanted to explore opportunities with corporate partners. And so probably late spring, early summer, we started engaging in conversations with potential corporate partners. We also wanted to start talking about what would be opportunities that the student athletes could get involved in. So we had conversations with some of the student athletes already at that time in the summer. We had some thoughts about what are ways that different athletic programs, whether it be basketball, baseball, cross country, how are we going to use the jewels of Iona? And then we had to build our public face. We wanted to make sure it was well coordinated with Iona University. We had discussions with Iona U about the way this all started and the genesis of it. It was kind of easy, but we wanted to be the official collective recognized by Iona University. So we are an official corporate partner of Iona U. That's not always the case for collectives. We don't have to be the only collective benefiting students, athletes of Iona, but we are the
official. That's interesting. I can go start a collective tomorrow is what you're saying.
Yes.
I didn't know that. I didn't realize that. Okay. That's interesting. Yes.
And you could do it in a way that you want to make money off of.
All right. So if this podcast had more listeners, maybe I would.
Exactly. So so we had all these building blocks moving concurrently, while also as Coach Anderson was rebuilding the roster of the team, the collective also featured, once he recruited a student athlete, as the NCAA rules permit, he's allowed to describe the fact that Iona will likely have a collective, and this is the kind of thing it will likely do. And once they were on board at Iona on the roster, me or my colleagues would have a conversation with them about the potential opportunities that are out there. And we did that with a few folks as we were getting started, and we will do that. We'll continue to do that with other student athletes. The reality of this, and that's not Iona University, but in general, is you go back to the main spirit, student athletes should be able to make money off of their name, image, and likeness. So there's a heavy correlation to how marketable is the student athletes. Right. And that's the commercial reality of this. And so this is not supplementing a scholarship program where we like people and everybody's going to get paid. So we need to balance those aspects, and that's where the hickey part comes in. There will be a change, I would imagine, in locker rooms all over the country about NBA-like or NFL-like playing time stats and what's the dynamics about player marketability.
And I thought about that too. I mean, obviously players who are established are going to command more NIL money, but then, I mean, I'm just thinking, no matter what campus you're on, if somebody who is not expected to be much of a player goes out and leads a team in scoring, isn't that going to cause friction in locker rooms?
Right. I think it will.
So,
and so when a student athlete, not an Iona, but in general, is not getting prioritized from an NIL point of view, are they going to blame the coach because they didn't get the playing time that would have warranted them getting prioritized? And that's what the NBA deals with.
Sure.
Yeah. So,
related question to that for you. With this being so new, how do you know what a fair market value is for a player? You know, I mean, who's making up? Is there some sort of a database that exists that the world doesn't know about that you can say, all right, well, this kid got this much at this school, that's what we can go with? Or, what kind of basis were you guys going on?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. Well, there is, in fact, a database. There are multiple databases, but Open Doors platform that I mentioned earlier does a semi-annual report of all the intel it can gather, payments it's been a part of or things that it does, it collects from other partners that it has, that gives you statistics by conference, by position, by sport, not by player.
Mm-hmm.
That they remain, try to keep anonymous or generalized. And by the way, that's a very important principle that the Gales Nation NIL Collective has adopted, is that we're not discussing any public forum, or even we're keeping it as highly confidential as possible, particular conversations we have or deals we have with student athletes or with corporate partners. So we're keeping it as general. But yes, Open Doors has this semi-annual report. So that is it's a guide. It's interesting information. But there's two sides to that. There's one, in the way I want us to think about it, or the way we've been doing it at our advisory board for the collective, is that we're not saying this is what you're going to get paid, student athlete. It's like, this is the kind of money that we think you may have the opportunity to earn money with. So you're not going to get 50 grand to go sign one autograph for a six-year-old. That's not going to work.
That right.
doesn't correspond. So no matter what is going on in the country, that doesn't feel right. If you're going to record a commercial for one of the biggest national brands in the country, then you might make more for doing something like that. But we have to have the opportunity and create the opportunity for the student athlete that gives them the ability to make as much money as their marketability can command.
Mm-hmm. And
so that's why we didn't approach it as, this is a contract for you to play at Iona. This is not the way it is.
Right.
This is an indication that we're going to do anything we can to help you make as much as you can off of your name, image, and likeness
right.
while you're playing at Iona. And
right.
Of course, the Open Doors data, some of the market intel that we get from just seeing things in the news, but also Encore has their finger on the pulse of what's going on with other collectives and other schools. And we use that to inform a judgment of, again, in the values and spirit of IOU.
Yeah. Well, a question back to that database real quick. You said it's kind of by conference, just roughly speaking. I'm assuming the dollar amounts tied to each conference are probably in line with where the conferences really rank in the grand scheme of things. So does that mean the MAC is mid to lower level for what the typical player in the MAC would be taking in?
Yeah, I would say mid is a stretch.
Okay.
We're lower level
lower.
based on the intel from Open Doors. It's still nil is nascent.
Mm. Okay. Interesting.
Yes. If you look at Iona's competitive landscape, yes, of course, we want to remain, leading edge in the MAC. But as we can see from the last couple of years, we also need to compete with talent in like the Big East and those sorts of schools. So we have to keep an eye on what they're doing as well, and make sure that, you know, when you agree to come to Iona University, not only are you getting as good an education as you are at the best schools in the country, like we currently provide, but you also are not limited in the opportunities else in your personal development. And that's the spirit at which we're trying to operate.
Okay. So you guys were plugging along all this past few months, getting this together. Can you give us some of the other major milestones along the way, including the corporate sponsors who've been added?
Yeah, so very pleased that our two partners at launch, Professional Physical Therapy, is one of our anchor corporate partners. They're a leading provider of outpatient physical therapy and rehabilitation services throughout the New York metropolitan area. Some of you may have known that, you may have used them. They provide the physical therapy to Iona Athletics in large part. So we're very excited about them partnering with us. Having someone like that in the local community who can see when they're spending marketing dollars, how the student athletes of Iona may play a great role in that. I mean, that's just a phenomenal, phenomenal symbiotic relationship that we're excited about. Similarly, a good friend of mine and former housemate was graduating when I was going to Iona, Dan Chiravalli. He's a very successful business owner in Westchester. He is a franchise owner of over 10 Dunkin' in Westchester County. And he has agreed to be, with his network of Dunkin's, a corporate partner as well. That's another one, very symbiotic relationship where you can see the mutual benefit that will provide, not only for his business or for our student athletes, but also the community. And that's been center of what we're looking for in our corporate partners and in the opportunities they unfold. So really pleased that they're with us. We have a few other conversations going on, which we're not quite ready to announce yet, but they'll be similar in spirit in terms of almost put friends and family to the Iona stakeholder community. Okay. So that was excellent. We will be going forward, you'll see as part of our website and our social media presence, we're signaling a few things into the future. Anyone who wants to contribute to Gales Nation NIL Collective right now, there's an ability to do so on our website, galesnation.com. For your contribution, we will be defining membership programs. We don't have them quite fully defined yet. They will be, your contributions will afford you access to exclusive information, events, opportunities. And this, we already know that anyone who already starts making contributions now will be retroactively entered to raffles we're planning for very cool events. That's something that we encourage, but we'll be getting more specific in the coming weeks about what the membership programs entail. We will also plan some special things like golf outings that would benefit the collective and the student athlete experience. So we will also putting the final touches on an online store for gear and memorabilia and merch that would also fit hand in glove with what we're trying to do with the collective.
Okay.
Lots of exciting stuff. And I can't tell you that, I mean, the energy and excitement around this has been incredible. I mean, the conversations that we've had with corporate partners, I thought at the beginning were going to be a little bit, you know, salesy and pushy, but it's been very well received. And it's all, I don't want to say easy, but it's been on the easier end of the spectrum. And I appreciate that from the community. Similarly, I can't say enough about the generosity of the alum, the group of alum who at the beginning committed very generously to give us the startup funding that we needed. You know, all those things that I mentioned, lawyers, accountants, initial deals, all that sort of stuff costs money. And as has been the case with so many prior things in Iona's history, the alums really stepped up, and we really appreciate that. And I'd also say, just as, sorry, Guy, that the energy around the student athletes is also palpable. I've got to meet a number of them already. These are great people. And I'm super excited about, forget the collective or nil, but just the culture of everything that's going on fits so well with what Iona's, you know, history and tradition is. And I think it's fantastic.
It's awesome. It's awesome. So one thing I want to make sure everybody understands, and you can speak to this as well, that, you know, one thing I've been asked all of this time, well, because people knew obviously that this was in the works. The Gold Club still exists. There's still going to be an Iona Athletics fundraising arm, and it is completely separate from Gales Nation Collective. If you want to speak a little bit about the differences so that people can understand.
Sure. This is an interesting aspect as well. As I mentioned, if you're a individual donor to the Gales Nation NIL Collective, your donation is not tax deductible. Your donation to Iona Athletics is. So you may be more inclined to invest with them, and you get a bigger bang for your buck. In contrast, or in corporate partners, though, their marketing dollars deployed at the collective are tax deductible as part of their business expenses. And so we certainly don't want to cannibalize anything that's going on at Iona University, but Iona University also, it's in their interest that our collective is successful. So there is a way for Iona University to support and promote the collective. And as long as we have this exclusivity, recognized official partner, there could be instances where we just collaborate and say, there are donors or corporate partners who just love what Iona Athletics is doing. And they can say, what's the best way for my money to have the biggest impact? And the university or me can say, or my colleagues on the board can say, actually, in this instance, we'd really appreciate it if you did the contribution to the collective, or in this instance, please do it for Iona Athletics. And that's the way we've engaged so far in some of these conversations. So yes, there's a role for both. Both are benefiting the student athletes at Iona, and there's different pros and cons for both.
Okay. We're talking a lot about men's basketball here, but that's not the overall goal of the collective. If you want to take a minute to speak about
Absolutely. Yeah, obviously men's basketball is an important aspect of the athletics program. We all know that, as is women's basketball, cross country, baseball, golf, you know, they're all part of the puzzle, lacrosse. And I think I'll go back to what we said before, is that we want people who come to Iona University to have the best academic experience they possibly can, the best professional development experience they potentially possibly can, personal development. And included in that is we want them to have as much opportunity to make money off of their name, image, and likeness as they would at any other institution. So if there's a corporate partner out there who would love to support and do explore opportunities to leverage the cross-country team, let's talk. If they want to do the same with golf, let's talk. So it is getting back to the marketability and what fits best, and where are the mutual interests between contributors, corporate partners, and the student athletes. So again, when the nil space came, this collective is a complementary offering to what we do already with, you mentioned at the beginning, Gales Go Further Mentoring Program, what we do for educational programs, the Entrepreneurial Center, Study Abroad Center, everything that contributes to the personal and professional development of our students. And so the Gales Collective is the latest addition to that.
So one thing I wanted to ask you also, I mean, we're talking about just creating revenue opportunities for student athletes. But that's not all the collective really does. There's more to it than that, isn't there?
Absolutely. The you'll see on our public launch, we have the acronym IONA, and each one has meaning and as it reflects this impact, opportunity, navigation, and access. Impact is obviously we want to find things where they're beneficial to the community and they're doing good work and not just being mercenaries, let's say, but having a positive impact on the community. And that's also helpful for their own personal development. Having opportunity, the opportunity to earn money is one thing, but also the opportunity to learn about financial education and things like that. We want to invest in the student athlete development. Navigation, similar thing. It's a complex world out there. Mentoring, advice, teaching them about how how to go about. They may be able to make some money today, like any athlete, but what are they going to do for their career? How can they leverage the now to be the important building blocks to a successful career over time? And access is something also that not only access to revenue earning opportunities, but access to great alums who may be able to serve as good mentors, opportunities with Hines Entrepreneurial Center, things like that, that we also want to make sure we're connecting dots and doing everything we can with the resources of the collective to, again, as I said earlier in the conversation, being a clearinghouse and be a central sort of center of excellence for these student athletes so they don't all have to go find these things on their own. So if they need advice from a lawyer, if they need advice, if they want to have their own agent, if they want to learn about how best do I invest the money that I've just earned, how do I better manage my finances, how do I think about a career in whatever they want to pursue, we want to be the home of a center of excellence for that. Similar to the way we thought about, the Gales Go Further mentoring program.
Right. It's interesting. You just triggered something for me there. So a great basketball player is at a Power Five school, is going to get a bunch of money. He's going to be in the NBA. So really, that money is just to kind of hold him over. Here we are preparing. Granted, good Iona players can end up playing in Europe for a long time as well, but some don't. So right. How do you prepare for life after basketball? I don't think that kids that are going to Duke necessarily need to know that because they're going to be in the NBA and they're going to have plenty of money and most of them are going to be in the NBA and all that. But kids that go to Iona for the most part are going to have a different life. So that's really that's interesting cool. That we're setting that groundwork for them.
And that's why I keep coming back to, the Iona academic experience is as good as the best schools in the country. A lot of the learning outside the lines opportunities that Iona provides are among the best in the community. The alumni network is the best in the world. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure that in this space of name, image, and likeness, if they have an opportunity to make money, they shouldn't be at a disadvantage because they went to Iona. That we want to give them the same opportunity they make everywhere else. And so if there is a corporate partner and a corporate sponsor or a donor, somebody who says, yes, I love this student athlete, he or she could play a key role in my marketing program, let them have that opportunity today. But let's also make sure that they're going to be highly successful alumni in their own right, so that they can continue the life cycle of the great alumni network and give back to the school someday in their time, talent, treasure.
Mm. Okay. Is there anything else we should know about the Gales Nation Collective that we haven't talked about yet, or is there something else you need to share? Something else maybe coming down the line that might not be in place yet that you're really excited about?
So obviously, if you go on the website and follow us on social media to see exciting new offerings that we are planning. As I mentioned before, we're going to have a membership program that gives members the access to exclusive information and events, unique opportunities. Anyone who contributes already will be grandfathered into those. So definitely give if you can. We will have an online store for merch, gear, and memorabilia. And we're going to have a series of events that will benefit the collective, like golf outings and those sorts of things. So galesnation.com, go to it if you can. Follow us on social media with similar handles. We're going to be on, we are on Instagram, X/Twitter, LinkedIn, and just follow us. And it'd be great. And Guy, also to you, I know that we've had a number of conversations about the great work that you do on IonaHoops.com and following that you have. Appreciate your partnership and looking forward to working with you also in the future.
Well, absolutely. And Jim, I want to take a moment on behalf of everyone involved in every capacity, from athletes to administrators to fans to idiot podcasters. Thank you for all you've done to get the collective up and running and now into the public domain. NIL is just such a crucial part of college athletics now. It's just so vital. I'm certain this collective is going to help shape the future of Iona athletics and the exceptional student athletes that grace our halls. So again, thank you for your role in getting the collective launched from everyone at Iona University.
Thanks, Guy. And it's, you know, as I mentioned before, it's I'm really thankful for those very generous alum and the four guys who are working as day-to-day overseers of the collective. I want to thank them as well. Great work over the last 6, 7, 8 months.
Well, we're excited, and I hope everybody listening is excited, because we've just taken a huge step in Iona athletics and Iona University as well, to be just stay at the forefront of MAC sports and maybe even beyond. So again, Jim, thank you very much for everything you've done, and we'll catch up again down the line.
Thanks, Guy, and go Gales.
Go Gales. The Gales Nation Collective is here, and you can find out more about it and contribute at galesnation.com. Thanks again to Jim Oates for all his work on the collective and for joining us here on the pod just in time as hoop season is right around the corner. Until next time, go Gales.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the IonaHoops.com podcast. This podcast is a production of IonaHoops.com with publisher Guy Filotico. The opinions shared during this podcast are those of Guy Filotico, IonaHoops.com, and any featured guests. This podcast is not affiliated with Iona University Athletics or the university itself. Thank you for supporting IonaHoops.com.